philosophies. People have opinions and their own point of view. I've heard preachers preach and I've heard teachers teach, but it all comes down to the simple gospel truth. Timeless truth, my life is living proof of its power to save, and I'm not ashamed to say.
Anybody else believe the book? Yes, amen. I'm going to ask Brother Teddy to pray here in a minute. I got a special request, and it's Janie's aunt,
cousin,
and also let's remember Brother Charlie. But this says Elaine Stevens fell 15 foot off the deck and broke both ankles and three spine fractures. Any other requests while Teddy's going to pray? I couldn't hear.
Grandpa is on his way to
Morgantown. Okay, there we go, Brother Charlie. Okay.
Sister D.D.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Teddy. I'm thankful for prayer. I'm thankful we can go straight in the Old Testament, it's just the priesthood. Everybody couldn't go in. And now we can go straight in, and the Lord hears us. I'm glad I believe the Bible. I'm glad I believe the book, like Sister Cheryl saying. And it's not without foundation. I believe it because it's true.
Yeah,
it's the reason I believe it. And if everybody reads their Bible through this year, can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. I want to go ahead and say that I believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I believe chapter 1 is true. It's the Bible. Chapter 2 and 3 and 4 is the Bible. You can believe 2, 3, and 4. You can believe right on up to 11, chapter 11. And if you believe all that, just well take the rest of Genesis there and believe that because it's all true. And then the other 65 books, they're true too. I'm just going to go ahead and believe them all. It's a lot more fun if you believe it all. A lot more fun. Now, we've been in Genesis for a little bit here now. We saw the creation, the corruption, the condemnation, the confusion. And now we're on Abraham, the first of the patriarchs. We're on chapter 21, and we'll try to review here a little bit, if we could, in chapter 21. Let's look at verse 9 again. Now, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now, Abraham thought when Isaac was born, his trials was over. You know, I kind of thought when I got saved, everything, I wouldn't have no more problems. I've heard people say, if you'll get saved, you won't have no more trouble. Well, that's not true. As a matter of fact, they might just be getting started. And they got started here for Abraham. Isaac, that represented the spirit, when the flesh, Ishmael, represents the flesh, he started persecuting him. And his troubles was just starting. Sarah was worried about the inheritance. Verse 10. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out the flesh. Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous. It's grievous if you cast out the flesh. It's grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Ishmael was his son too.
Yeah, right.
For 14 years, his only son. He loved him too.
Sure.
And I love me too. I don't like cutting across the flesh.
Yeah.
It hurts to cast it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. The birth of Isaac awakened the sinful nature of Ishmael. No problems, maybe, before you get saved. Maybe. Or after, until then, maybe. Sarah's first concern was the inheritance. Now, there's another picture here. You don't have to believe this if you don't want to. But Ishmael can be a picture of Israel. And Isaac is a picture of the church. And Israel will not inherit what the church inherits. We're going to heaven. Israel is an earthly people. They're looking to inherit a piece of land over there, over in the east. But for right now, Israel is cast out.
Right.
She's not in the heirship right now. She will be restored. She's been wandering in the wilderness for centuries now. Until 1948, really. And that's because she rejected Abraham's greater son.
Yes. Think about that.
And then look in verse 15 here. It said the water was spent. You remember the water lesson? Water's a picture of the Bible, but water's also a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's really not helping Israel right now. He's going to. She's going to get restored. She's going to inherit her part according to God. And then in 16, she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, lifted up her voice and wept. To me, it's a picture of the wailing wall. And again, Israel's been doing this for centuries now, waiting to get restored. She'll get restored after the tribulation, all through the millennium. It's going to work out. But not until a Jew or anyone else recognizes Abraham's big son, Jesus, are they going to get in the family. We must recognize Jesus is God.
Yeah.
He's the Savior. Jehovah's going to take him up again. Let's look at verse 18. He says, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. She's going to get in. She's going to get her part. I'm just saying her inheritance is earthly. And we're going to heaven. Okay, well, we also were in 22 last week. That's a little bit of review. Here's some more review. Last week in 22, we saw the test in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Notice that he's ready, willing, and able to obey the Lord. But also, this tempt, once again, this tempt is not in any way to get Abraham to sin. It's more like a test, and we read verses for that. As you would test a bridge, like the state tests a bridge and puts a weight limit of 12 ton on it, or whatever, as you would, the manufacturer would test a rope or a piece of cable and say, this is worth 2,000 pounds. It'll hold 2,000 pounds before it breaks. So it's a test, and maybe not so much for God as it is for Abraham, so Abraham will know what he's made of. Sometimes that's what's going on. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. God doesn't recognize the works of the flesh. He's not only that, it's the one whom thou lovest. See, we got a lot of verses all through the Bible what Calvary was like to the Son. But this verse here tells us what Calvary was like to the Father.
Yeah.
See, the Lord gave me three boys, gave us three boys, and I wouldn't send anyone to die for my enemy.
Right.
I wouldn't do it, but the Lord did, and Abraham's getting ready to. And get thee into the land of Moriah. I really like that map on the handout. We'll look at that in a minute. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. One of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham did it. And again, the chapter is entitled Abraham's Calvary. That's a man-made title, but it's pretty much tells the story. And Abraham's going to see it here in a minute. And he said, verse 3, and Abraham arose up early in the morning. And I picked on Jared last week, not because he doesn't get up early, because I knew Jared does get up early. Jared is a worker, one of my heroes. Abraham rose up early in the morning. That's what Brother Rick ought to do. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place. God had a place marked out in the center of the earth. If you've got a flat map, Israel's in the center of the earth. And Jesus is the center of all history. Actually, you spell history, His story is how you spell. And it tells about Jesus from beginning to end. And there's a place, God had marked out a place where His Son was going to die. And this is the place. Abraham's looking. It's the same place we'll see on the map. The place of which God had told him of. And then verse 4 says, and on the third day. It was on the third day. And Isaac clave the wood. And there's that map, that handout. On the left, you got Jerusalem and I guess most of Israel there. Jerusalem right in the middle. And then on the right side, the things enlarged. And you see there's four quadrants on the left side, and one of them is Moriah, and that Moriah is enlarged on the right-hand page, and it's the exact same. Mount Moriah is the exact same mount as Mount Calvary, and it's all a picture of Calvary. At 11:30 a.m., May the 29th, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest. He went down in history for doing that. There was a lot of preparation before that. You know, there's a lot of preparation for revival these past few weeks. And so here we are. But there was preparation to climb this mountain. There was preparation. The only mountain higher than Mount Moriah is Mount Calvary.
Yeah.
That Exodus lamb was kept up for 4 days to make sure there was no spot or blemish in it, no, nothing wrong with it. And Peter says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord Jesus Christ was kept up from the garden to Calvary 4,000 years. And I'll go ahead and tell you, He never stole a cookie. He never told a lie. His eyes never looked at a Playboy magazine. His hands never held a can of beer. His lips never held a cigarette. He never disobeyed His parents. And there was no shadow of turning in Him, no thought of turning back. God Almighty in the flesh come down. And there was some preparation for Mount Calvary. And Mount Calvary is the only mountain higher than Mount Everest.
Yeah.
You can mark it down. Let's look at it now in verse 4. It's on the third day. Then on the third day is Abraham's Calvary. Since it was man that sinned, it had to be a man that died. All those lambs were pictures, but it had to be a man. God had to become flesh and become a man. A beast won't do. Now, in verse 2, when God told Abraham what to do, He didn't give him a reason. He just said, go to it. Abraham obeyed. Sometimes God lays His hand on something that's dear to us. Now here the Spirit of God also shows us the offering and the offerer. Sister Trista sang it last week. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, goes Christ my Savior, weary and worn. And the Father was with him up to a certain point. I think it was dark from noon till 3 o'clock. And this was a holy altar, a holy sacrifice. Eyes couldn't look at it. The two helpers, they had to stay back here in verse 3. He said, you stay here. And then in verse 5, Abraham said to these young men, abide ye here. They had to stay there. It was too holy. It got dark, so the thieves on both sides of him on the cross couldn't see. Only the Father, and even the Father turned his back. It was holy ground. He said, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder. I and the lad will worship. And I and the lad will come again.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of God, the offering and the offerer. The transaction. Now the preacher's been telling us this on Wednesday night. If you don't come on Wednesday night, you need to. He's been telling us this transaction. I always want to throw in business transaction because it just flows. That's most of our transactions. I guess this is a spiritual transaction. To me, I see it as a business transaction. But I've done a lot of transactions. I've given the guy $500 and he gave me the horse. I've given him the horse and he gave me the $500. I've done it many times. And here's a transaction. But first of all, it's between the Father and the Son only.
Right.
The preacher's been telling us that. The transaction was between the Father and Son. Yes, He died for sinners. Yes, He died for us. But first, He died for the Father. First, He died for the Father. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. And it was early in the morning. It was early in the morning that it started. Actually, the Lord had been up all night before the crucifixion. Abraham and Isaac must be alone. It's too holy for other eyes. The two witnesses can't see it. Not Sarah couldn't go. It's too holy. It's a holy altar. It's a holy altar. 3 hours of darkness. He laid upon Isaac his son, the wood. We read last week, he clave to the wood. Now Isaac was seeing 23:1. He's about 37 years old here, about 33 in chapter 22, I think. He's a full grown man. He didn't have to do that. He could easily reject it. He could have easily resisted and easily rebelled. He's a full grown man. He's not a kid. The Lord could have rejected and rebelled. He didn't have to obey the Father. He went for me. As far as I can see, He did it all for me. He said, lo, I come to do Thy will. It's what Jesus said to the Father in Psalms. He said, I delight to do Thy will.
Right.
Sometimes I do it because I have to. He said, I delight to do Thy will.
That's right.
Verse 7, we got the still review from last week. We got the fire. That's the divine. Let me just read it. Isaac spake unto Abraham the father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? The fire pictures divine judgment that ever burns against sin. After we got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the Lord put an angel with a flaming sword so we could not re-enter, so we could not get back in. Still going on in Revelation 20. Got a lake of fire over there in Revelation 20. It's all a picture of the judgment of God. Then verse 8, And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together again. God would provide the lamb for Himself, and God would provide Himself as the lamb. Both are true. And that's a summary of the whole Bible. That's what's been going on. Up till now, we've been looking for it. They're looking for it all the way to Calvary. Now we look back on that. When John saw Him in chapter 1, verse 29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," capital L, Lamb of God, "that taketh away the sin of the world."
Yeah.
Both are true. Then in verse 13, before I get too far away from this, see, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns." This is the ram's also a picture of us in that it's all caught up in sin. I was caught up. I was bound up. I was in sin. And the Lord took my place in the stead of, I think we might read here in a minute. Okay, that's in the past. That's in the past. We finished 8 last week. Dear Lord, please help us here again now that we would see You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Verse 9, now on our new material, we're in Genesis 22:9. "And they came to the place." Aren't you glad for the place?
Yeah.
"Which God had told him of." Oh, I can trust my Bible. I can trust the Word of God. He told him that's where you're going to go. And right there it was. He said it's going to be the place which God had told him of. And there Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. They came to the place. You can trust the Word of God.
Amen.
And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife. Why? Why would he do that at the place? It was to slay his son.
Yeah.
He was ready. He was this much ready.
Right.
He was this much ready. He was this much obedient. He was ready. Verse 11. "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." Same thing he said in verse 1. He's ready either way to obey. Boy, if Brother Rick could get a handle on that, that'd be a real good thing right there to obey. He said, "Here am I." Abraham spared not his son. Guess what? God didn't spare his son. I know you know that. Let's look at it anyway. Romans 8:32. "As far as I can see, he did it all for me."
Yeah.
Romans 8:32. "He that spared not his own," capital S, "son, but delivered him up." Why? "For us all." I thought just the elect was getting in. Said right here, "For us all." Delivered up for us all. "He that spared not his own." I thought just some was getting in. "But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Delivered for us all is what the Bible said. Let's go to verse 12 now. "And he said," Abraham said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know." I don't know. Maybe the test was for God. Maybe it wasn't for Abraham. But God said, "Now I know that thou fearest God." He knew that because he obeyed. "See thou hast not withheld," "seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son." Well, guess what? He passed the test.
Yeah.
The test started in verse 1, and he passed the test.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. 1 Peter 1:7. God didn't want Isaac, he wanted Abraham. It's the same thing he's wanting when we're going through the fire. 1 Peter 1:7. "That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." That's the purpose. If you're going through the fire, that's the purpose. Many's going through it right now. You're either going through it right now, or you just got come out of it, just got through going through it, or you're getting ready to. One or the other. Let's check it out in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, to whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able. You believe he's able this morning? Able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That was a figure. Mount Moriah was a figure of Mount Calvary to come. All the time. Let's go back to 22. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. All the time this was all going on, the ram been climbing the other side of the mountain. The Lord had him prepared and ready and caught up in his sin, in the briars, in the crown of thorns, in his stead. Isaiah 53. In our stead. In Isaac's stead. Isaiah 53. Verse 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Look to me like it's all for me.
Right.
He was bruised for our iniquities. He didn't have any. He didn't have any sin.
Right.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's why we have peace this morning. And with his stripes we are healed. Far as I can see, it's all for me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The most wicked thing Brother Rick can do is go his own way.
Yeah.
And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. I thought it was the elect. I thought it was the few chosen. Oh, it's for all. 2 Corinthians 5. That's what I heard. I don't know. You know? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us in the stead of who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See that transaction I was talking about? He took my sin and gave me his righteousness because I don't have any. It had to be that way. It had to be a transaction. 1 Peter 2. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the capital S, the big shepherd and bishop of your souls. Galatians 3. Verse 8, and a good homework assignment be read between 8 and 16. For time, I'm just going to read 8 and 16. 8, for the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Now, get a witness right there. You know, the only ones God will save is ungodly. The only ones that can get in this morning is the ungodly, the heathen. Through faith, let me start over. For the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, like Brother Rick, through faith, preached and before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. We're seeing it in chapter 22, Abraham's Calvary. Then verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed. Remember, all that believe can get in just like him. And his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Now notice it wasn't a ewe. It was a ram. It's all a picture of Calvary, of the Lord Jesus. The crown of thorns. The ram had a crown of thorns. Jesus had a crown of thorns. We'll go ahead and tell you the trip back down the mountain is a lot better.
Yeah.
It was a lot better coming back down the other side.
That's right.
22:14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as is said. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the big Lord, capital Lord, it shall be seen. God has provided in the mount of the Lord, Mount Calvary, Mount Moriah. I know you know this. Let's look at it. John 8:56. Nothing new. If it's new, it's probably not true. If it's true, it's probably not new. John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Jesus talking, red letters. And he saw it and was glad. When did he see it? Chapter 22. Chapter 22, he saw it. 15 to 19. We got the number of Abraham's descendants. And the angel of the Lord talks a second time. The angel of the Lord, we saw it back in verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself. We could go over to Hebrews 1, read that, couldn't we? Where Jesus created everything by himself. He didn't need Brother Rick. He was doing real good before Brother Rick got here, and he's going to be doing real good when I pass away. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. That's a picture of the church. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and that's a picture of Israel, an earthly people. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. America's being blessed right now because of Israel. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they arose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And we don't see Isaac until the end of chapter 24, when he comes back for his bride. And we don't see our Isaac today. He's invisible to us until he comes back to get us. Like real soon. I'm talking about like real soon, you know. And then 20 to 24 is the news of Abraham's family. And it came to pass after these things that was told Abraham, saying, behold, Micah, she hath borne... She hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buzz, his brother. Huz and Buzz, that always cracked me up right there. Kimmel, the father of Arab, and Chesed, and Abed, and Pisdash, and Chitlap, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah, and we'll see her over in chapter 24 too. And these eight, Milcah did bear unto Nahor, Abram's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Rumah. She also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Mahah. Now, on your handout on the back side, also here, this chapter 22, the lamb. Some's looking for the lamb of education. Isaac said, Dad, here's the wood and the fire. Where's the lamb? Some's looking in education this morning. And I'm supposed to be a teacher, and I'm for education, but let me go ahead and tell you, don't get educated into heaven. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Good works. Some's looking for him in good works. the United Nations, the government, baptism, church membership, psychology, philosophy, religion, possessions, health, wealth, fortune, pleasure, counseling, science, pseudoscience, pretend science, almost science, evolution is what I'm talking about. Computers, devices, toys, power. Some's looking in power, fame, comfort, politics, baptism, membership. No, it's in Isaac.
Amen.
It's in Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing, Jesus minus nothing.
Right.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. What will He provide, Brother Rick? Well, in chapter 15, He provided eternal salvation for Abraham. Guidance in chapter 12, courage in 14, spiritual blessings in 14, earthly needs in 13. Social Security, let's look at it. We can't look at all. So what are you talking about, Brother Rick? How about chapter 15? Let's see. When you get Him, you get everything. It's what everybody's looking for, I reckon. Here's 15, 15, 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. How about that? Amen. Amen. He got forgiveness in chapter 20. Abraham did. A son of old age in 21. Continued protection in 15:1. We're right there. Let's just read that one. After these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham." You know, if the Bible's true, I don't have nothing to worry about.
That's true.
Is it?
It's true.
If the Bible's true, I don't have nothing to worry about.
It's true.
A promised city of heaven. How about this? Abraham and the father were alike in these ways. Both had a beloved son. Both sons were born miraculously. One virgin birth, a lot of miracle births. That's what we saw. Both sons were offered. Both fathers offered sons. Both offered sons at the same place. You got the map.
Yeah.
Right there it is. Both received sons back with great joy. Both were made careful preparations for the son's wedding. That just reminded me, I talked to a guy one time that believed in Bigfoot. And he had the mirage made, like Barney Fife had. He had the prints. And he said, "Now some people don't believe that." And Sam said, "Well, there's the prints." Anyway. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You we can have a good time because of You. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Mount Calvary. Thank You for the picture. We praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.